China has launched a national organ donation system to try to reduce its dependence on body parts harvested from executed prisoners, who currently make up the majority of donors. Organ transplantation in China has long been criticised as profit-driven and unethical, with critics arguing death row inmates may feel pressured to become donors. Although a 2007 law bans organ trafficking, there are many reports of illegal transplants from living donors and of foreigners travelling to China for the transplants. In many countries throughout the world, there is a desperate shortage of organs for transplantation, which has helped to fuel a global illegal trade in body parts, whereby the rich travel to poor countries for such transplants. And how often have we read about reports in the media of a desperately poor individual who tries to sell one of his or her kidneys to the highest bidder to earn some money? But is it right that the poor should be exploited in this way and compromise their own health by selling a kidney to the rich? And when it comes to China, what exactly is the current situation like regarding the whole issue of organ transplants and the ethical questions posed by the use of executed prisoners as donors of body parts? Well, to find out more, my colleague Irene Lagan spoke first of all to Dr. Frank Delmonico, professor at Harvard Medical School and an expert on organ trafficking for the World Health Organization, who has visited China several times.
I've been to China on a number of occasions. And the vice minister is one courageous individual who is very well aware of the situation there. In fact, the number of executed organ transplants that are being done for foreign patients is much reduced from what it was in 2006-2007. At that time, about 11,000 transplants were performed in China from those who had been executed, about 8,000 kidney transplants and about 3,000 liver. Since then, Istanbul Declaration and the WHO Guiding Principles have had much impact on practices in China by way of regulations that have been developed 1 year ago, in which those regulations stipulated that foreign patients may not come to China to buy organs. Is it still going on? Yes. Do I know where it's going on? Yes. Do we receive documents about patients that have undergone transplants in China? Yes. But it is not to the degree that I just elaborated in numbers. It is much reduced. And I was just with Chinese officials in Sweden, and those numbers are showing perhaps something in the order of 2,000 transplants, where had been done 11,000 transplants. And yes, it is still with foreign patients, but it is much reduced. Now, what can you do to increase transplants around the world? Well, we have to obtain every opportunity of deceased donation. We have to increase deceased donation to provide those kinds of extra kidney, extra renal organs everywhere in the world, too. We also have to provide kidneys from live donors in a safe way, with informed consent, and without abuse. And it has to be done within one's country, so that the Middle East, the Gulf countries, cannot have the perception they can simply send their patients to South America or to Manila to buy organs from the poor people. That's what we're combating. So we have to turn around to each country and say, how can we maximize opportunities of organ donation and proper ethical practices of live donation in your country?
So it's fair to say then, because I think there's a lot of fears, and you've already answered this, that organ donation is something that is ethical, and that it's not something that people should fear upon their death, and that, in fact, it really is, as if I understand you correctly, a social responsibility.
You've captured something that I think is the most important comment of all so far. We have a social responsibility to provide for our fellow man at the time of our death, because our organs are going to decompose. There are cultural objections to organ donation, and they're understandable. But at the end of the day, education brings the following fundamental fact. When we die, we decompose bodily. And organs that reside in our body no longer become useful to us, but they can be useful for our fellow man. And that social responsibility has to be in the mindset of every country and every culture. For those cultures, that make some objection about organ donation. What is a note of irony, and yet I would say revealing, is that they don't object to being the recipient of an organ transplant. So in Japan, where there's a hesitation about deceased donation, there's plenty of organ transplantation that goes on. Patients leave Japan and go to other places of the world to undergo transplantation because there's an insufficient number of deceased donors in a country of 120 million population. So there are cultural issues, there are fears, and there is apprehension, but education needs to resolve that. One other point I wish to make that was made very strongly at the Vatican conference in November, last November. Somebody better be dead when they become an organ donor. It ought not to be that someone's death is occasioned by organs being recovered or taken from them. That is also a very important aspect of Istanbul and WHO guiding principles. There should be a proper termination of death before organs are recovered. That's the dead donor rule.
Just wanted to ask you quickly if there's anything else that you feel is important to add that I haven't asked.
Unless we make for a national self-sufficiency, you talk about social responsibility, governments of countries are now going to have to address, where are we going to get organs for our patient population? They can't dismiss this by saying, you can run off to Asia or South America and we can have you obtain organs from the poor people of that country. The countries themselves are somewhat fed up with that kind of an approach. In the Philippines, the president there made a very strong stance in saying, no longer can foreign patients come to Manila to purchase organs. So too should that be the responsibility of all countries around the world. They have now the obligation, if there's no deceased donation, they've got to get underway with it. And if there's live donation, there must be the oversight of society that says the poor person is not being exploited for their organs in that country. This is a movement now that has to capture the world's attention. And thank goodness, great. We have to be very appreciative and supportive where Minister Jiafu Wang has taken this important stance in China. We must get a program of deceased donation underway. We can't be relying on people that have been executed, inmates in prisons, to be the source of organs for us or for foreign patients that have been coming to this country for organs. The reality of it is that the need for organs fuels the need for execution. And we know this without any hesitation of my saying to you in a public way. That demand for organs fuels the need for someone to be executed next Tuesday that's a B blood type or an O blood type or of some specification that would provide an organ for an individual who's coming to that country for the purpose of transplantation.
But what about the Catholic Church and its position on the issue of organ donor and transplantation? At a Rome conference on the issue last November that was sponsored in part by the Pontifical Academy for Life, Pope Benedict said organ donation must remain a gift of the donor, and organs cannot be taken from vulnerable people without their consent. The Pope said the main criteria must be respect for the life of the donor, so that the removal of organs is allowed only in the presence of his actual death. Dr. John Haas is the president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center in the US, and he told us more about the Church's position on this issue and the potential ethical problems surrounding the practice of organ transplantation.
Well, as you know, Pope John Paul II himself encouraged the donation of organs in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae, and said that it was one of the ways in which love for neighbor can be expressed and manifested. So the Church has long accepted the legitimacy of organ donation from corpses, from people who are already dead. There's developed an acceptance of certain organs being donated from people who are still living, inter vivos, as it's called, if it's an organ that would not significantly impair the health of the donor. So the church has accepted as legitimate both organ donation from corpses and also from the living, as long as certain conditions are met. The principal ones, obviously, from a corpse is that you have to be certain that the person is dead. I mean, that's generally known in transplant circles as the dead donor rule. It is strictly enforced in the United States. The Pope John Paul himself said that that the dead donor rule has to be observed before organs can be extracted. Of course, then we move to the question of how do we determine death to make sure that we can remove the organs. So that's an area of some concern and conversation in our own day. But the principle of organ donation has been accepted for quite some time.
Do you find that, at least at the Bioethics Center, you have people who are concerned about letting themselves be organ donors, you know, on their licenses and other things that we have in place? And do you also find, or do you see that, is there an increase in demand for organs in the United States?
Oh, there's a great need for organs in the United States. We don't begin to meet the need, and so there are increasing efforts to try to find ways in which to obtain more organs, such as, for example, some people that advocated that there ought to be some kind of remuneration or incentive to people to donate organs. We're firmly against that. The church is against that. But there's a great need for organs, but there also is a great need to make sure that we never kill anybody in the process of extracting organs for donations.
That was John Haas of the U.S. National Catholic Bioethics Center. And you earlier heard the voice of Dr. Frank Delmonico, an expert on organ trafficking for the World Health Organization.